We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And we're here with, ready, Matt?
Okay.
Wrestling with the basics. And Matt,
I just think about all the time we spent practicing saying that in unison, and boy, did it pay off.
That's right. For all of those out there that would like to be radio people, practice.
Making things up.
So here's the thing. We got a new feature. We're starting today, Matt. I'm excited about this.
As
we're in our summer shows now, new feature. I call it Opening Joke Jeopardy.
Oh, boy.
Opening Joke Jeopardy.
Are these jokes in the form of a question?
No, don't worry about that. Okay. Your answers do not need to be the form of a question, but trust me, whatever you choose will put you in jeopardy. Because I'm going to give you five categories here, and you, Matthew Clark, get to choose what will be the opening joke category.
Okay.
So here's category number one, amusing grandchildren anecdotes.
Okay.
Number two is Target dental invention. Number three is how appropriate bad jokes. Number four, rejected things dumb guys think premises. And finally, opposite words.
I will take rejected things dumb guys think for 500.
No, you don't want to do that one.
No, not that one. Okay.
Sorry, I don't even know why I mentioned it, because I only had one rejected dumb guy thing. I need to work more on that.
They don't really reject much, I guess.
Well, that obviously from what we did last week, apparently not. Any dumb guy thing we just use.
Oh, that whole milk.
So you still have amusing grandchildren anecdotes, Target dental invention, bad joke, or opposite words.
All these are fair game this time?
No, these are fair game. Yeah. I didn't figure you'd choose that one.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
How about
I didn't really...
the dental invention?
Dental invention. All right,
okay,
Matt. That's your category. So I'm walking into the Target store, and there's this big sign. It says, "Tastes like a treat and cleans your teeth." And I'm thinking, this is awesome. Isn't this great?
Sign me up.
Well, because, you know, that's the big problem, getting to brush our teeth, keeping our teeth clean everything, cavities and stuff like that.
Sure.
How are you for your dental care, by the way, Matt?
Well, I'm doing well enough. I got a cavity before my wife, which she reminds me of, but...
Okay.
It was a little one.
Okay, but she's taken care of you since then. But wouldn't it be nice for our children? You've got young children too. How are they doing? How do they come when they... Are they keeping their teeth
in pretty good
shape?
But it's a constant battle. You know, did you brush your teeth? And every day it's kind of like this new thing. We're supposed to brush our teeth. Yes, every morning, every night. For the past 10 years,
well, we
Noah.
Did that already.
Yes,
do we still have to do that? But wouldn't it be neat if you could just say, here, kids, here's this delicious treat. You just eat that and that'll clean
Who
their teeth.
Wouldn't want that?
I know, it's an awesome idea. Unfortunately, it's only for dogs.
Oh, no.
It was in the pet food thing that they had the big sign, like a treat.
Cow.
And I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? Why can't we do this for our dogs? Why can't we not do this for ourselves and for our children?
I think you're onto something.
Okay. So all those inventors out there, would you start working on the treat? It tastes like a treat, but it cleans your teeth at the same time.
Tasty dental treatment.
For humans.
and, you know, talk to the dentist about that, too. Because, you know, the stuff they do in my mouth isn't all that tasty. Can I do something with that, too, while they're at it?
Yeah, but see, maybe it's the dental consortium that's keeping this from happening, you think?
So they'll
be out of their money. They won't be making, they won't have to do all the dental exams and stuff. We need to look into that, Matt.
That's right. You might be uncovering something here.
Okay. Well, that's the first of our categories from Opening Joke Jeopardy.
Wow.
we still have to go, though. You know, we have the amusing grandchildren anecdotes and opposite words and stuff. So for the
Exciting.
Future. For the future.
Oh, boy. It's going to be one wild summer.
All right. What we want to talk about.
All right now. There's no time for foolishness.
Thank you for that reminder. Yeah, Matt and I were talking about the Lord's Prayer. In fact, actually, Matt, that's what we did. We did for our Lenten series, we did the Lord's Prayer this last year.
Oh, and, okay.
Couldn't get it done, you know.
Is that
well,
right?
You know, there's six Wednesdays in Lent, and unfortunately, the Lord's Prayer's got a lot more stuff than six.
Yeah, there's more petitions.
That's right. So, but the one I think that people always, well, you tell me, which one do you think, when from your working with people, what's the one that really puzzles people the most?
Well, from my experience, when we get to the part about lead us not into temptation, that usually causes some questions, because what does that mean? What is this tempting stuff? And why are we asking God not to tempt us, or lead us into temptation at least? You know, I thought God wasn't in the tempting business. What's going on here? Why do we even have to pray this?
Well, and you're right, because that's what James specifically says in his letter. He says God tempts no one.
Yeah, yeah. So that, and then the other thing that people question about often is this forgiveness stuff. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. You know, that's the easy part. But as we forgive those who trespass, who sin, who are you know, have debts against us, that's tough too, you know, because Pastor, how can I forgive someone who's done such and such to me? You know, that's another one that people really struggle with too, and I think we as pastors do also.
Well, and you know, let me say this about that, about the business about forgiving.
Please,
I don't want to talk about it. That isn't the one I prepared. Why is it? Whatever I ask you, you always pick the one that I haven't prepared. But you know what? What you doing next week? Should we do that for next week?
Well, sure. Might as
okay.
Well.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't have any other plans for myself.
All right. Because actually, the one I was prepared for is the first one you mentioned about leading us not into temptation.
Yes.
But I think you're right. I think we should wrestle with that whole business about really, I pray, and but only if God forgives me, only if I forgive my brothers and my trespasses, then God will forgive me. Is that what that's all about?
Yeah.
But well, we can wrestle with that next week. But I would like to wrestle with this lead us not into temptation thing.
Good.
And you know what? When I did this originally, I saved this for the end. But maybe I should bring it up right at the beginning. Did you know what the word actually means in the Greek there that we translate lead us not into temptation? It's actually a much, much harsher word than lead us not into temptation. Have you ever bothered to actually—
It's a single word.
It's a single word, yeah. You've never—
Well,
I was going to say, because I never looked this up either, and I've been doing it a lot longer than you. So I'm saving you some time here. You don't have to wait until you've been out in the ministry 36 years to find this. But it was interesting, because this is the only place in the Bible where they translate it lead, because every other place this word is used in the Bible, it's translated bring, which is a lot more powerful, you know. So it's one thing for us to lead us into temptation,
but to
actually pick us up and carry us into temptation?
Yeah.
Wow. So that makes it even harsher then, and as such a puzzle.
So, and bring us not into temptation.
Yeah, bring us not into temptation. So it's all, he's going to pick you up and take you right into it if you're not careful. So let me ask you, because of course I've got my spiel. So how have you answered people with this whole question, why we pray lead us not into temptation?
Well, I think, you know, you quoted James right off the bat, and I think that's a good place to start, that idea that to preface what we say with God tempts no one. And then I think we do a pretty good job of leading ourselves into temptation.
like we need help.
Like we need help, you know. when I think of myself, just my sinful self, so often we as sinners, we enjoy temptation even. And sometimes we even rush into temptation. I hate to admit it, because that's a lot of fun. But...
It's a lot of fun. Please, kids, don't listen to Matt.
Well, you know what I mean. Our sinful selves see
think
it
it's
as
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, it's a more sanctified answer. But anyway.
I know what you mean, though, Matt. It is a lot of fun.
Oh boy, but to realize that as sinners we do think sometimes that those things that we know that are wrong, that separate us from the Lord, that are tempting, maybe we do find enjoyment, maybe we do rush to sin. So we pray here that the Lord would guard us from that,
yes,
would preserve us from ourselves from the devil, from the sinful world, and lead us not into temptation. Preserve us from temptation, because it doesn't take much to lead me to sin.
And yet, you know, see, there lies in the dilemma of that thing, because we don't say preserve us from temptation. That's not what we pray, because that would make perfect sense to me too. I could see praying that petition, but instead we pray,
lead us,
not. Yeah, not in temptation. And it's like it's put back on God again, which of course, as you said, no, well, he doesn't tempt anyone. What are we saying that for? There is another interesting thing I found as I studied the original Greek. And normally when I do this, I simply say to the congregation, this is what it says in the Greek, you got to believe me.
Dude, take my word for it.
Yeah, you don't read Greek, so. But when we did this originally, I actually had my stepson, Tim Shakel, who just graduated from the seminary, by the way.
Oh, yeah, congratulations, yeah,
everyone,
Tim.
Keep Tim in your prayers, because he's going to Malacca, Minnesota. But he obviously does know the Greek, and so I thought, well, maybe I need to offer some explanation of what I'm saying. But this is what they call in the grammars the May Prohibition. The May Prohibition. Okay, you're going to hit something?
Quit making things up.
And I know it sounds
okay,
like...
smart guy. What's the May Prohibition?
Well, it sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Because in English, May means you can do something, and Prohibition means you can't do something. But here it's the Greek word May, which simply does mean not. It's the not in the lead us not into temptation. But it's interesting how the Greeks use the word May. Let me give you an illustration, because this actually probably comes from your own experience. Have you ever come in and found your kids sitting at the table and there's cookie crumbs all over the floor and there's chocolate smeared on their cheeks and the lid of the cookie jar is kind of hanging precariously off the lip and you would say to them, don't eat any cookies, that will spoil your supper.
Unless they're cleaning your teeth, lay off the cookies.
That's right. That's right. This new treat we're going to come up with.
The tasty.
You're thinking all the time. Yeah. And so what do you actually mean by that when you say don't eat the cookies, it's going to spoil your supper?
Oh, cut it out. Stop doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. That's right. Quit doing what you're doing. On the other hand, what happens if you came in and saw your two dear children, Noah and I can't remember.
Anna.
All right. How can I forget Anna? What a beautiful name. And they're sitting at the table and they're coloring, just having fun doing things kids do. The cookie jar is sitting there on the shelf back in the corner where it belongs. No evidence that they've ever taken or eaten any cookies. And you say to them, don't eat any cookies. It'll spoil your supper. Now what do you mean there?
Well, don't do that wrong thing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the Greeks actually have a way of saying that. See, we don't in the English. You don't eat the cookies. Well, we don't know. Do you mean I have been eating them and I should stop? What do you mean? When the Greeks want to say to someone, you've never done this before, I'm not suggesting you would do it, but please don't. They use this May Prohibition, and that's the language we have in the Lord's Prayer. So the very language of the Lord's Prayer is saying exactly what James says. No, the Lord doesn't lead anyone to temptation. We know that. We acknowledge that. But, oh, God, please don't start.
Yeah, keep not leading us into temptation.
Yeah. Oh, a good way of putting it. Yeah. Yeah. So actually the language affirms the fact that God doesn't tempt us. And yet, having given that explanation, I'm still confused.
So we got cookies, we got color.
Well, I'm still confused. So why would we even have to say that to God if he's already told us he's not going to do it anyway?
Sure, we're acknowledging his character, if nothing else. Yep. He's not the one who tempts us.
So you're right. So actually, Matt, and the other thing you said earlier too, so in that petition, we actually make a confession about ourselves, which you illustrated so beautifully, that we by nature like to be tempted. So there's kind of a confession in that, but also you write an affirmation of where God's at in all of this. Here's the thought I started having. So how would we pray this petition? How would we pray it if we were writing it rather than God? And the first thought occurred to me that we probably would pray, well, let's just not have any temptation at all.
Yeah.
Right.
If there's no temptation, then I'm scot-free. You know, I'm not going to sin if I'm not tempted, right?
So don't worry about leading or not leading or bringing or whatever.
Take it all away.
Get rid of it, yeah. Do you think that actually is a good idea, Matt?
Well, I go back to the Garden of Eden, and God didn't rid all temptation from the garden. Adam and Eve certainly had temptation.
And here's the crazy thing. And again, this is hard for us to understand, but apparently temptation is a good thing. Again, from the book of James, and I find it ironic that the very guy that told us that God tempts no one is also the guy that said this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet temptations of various kinds. You know that the temptation of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So again, yeah, our prayer would be, let's get rid of the temptations. Let's not. Well, and what's the next petition after "lead us not into temptation"?
But deliver us from evil.
And again, that's how we'd pray that petition, isn't it, Matt? Let's just not have any evil.
Yeah.
We don't worry about you delivering us. If we don't have it, we don't have to worry about it. But apparently, no, that's not the plan. That's not the program either. There is to be evil. Speculations, Matt. What is the good thing that comes from temptation and evil and all of that? Or,
well, I'm thinking if there is no temptation, no temptation to sin, and no sin, then I guess you could say, if you take it a step further, if there's no evil, then we really don't need God either.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we're just fine on our own, if we're not going to sin, if we're perfect by ourselves, there is no evil, there's no temptation, we really don't need the Lord then, do we?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, not only don't we need God, but we have no need for Jesus, and certainly no need for his suffering and death
specific,
on the cross.
You bet.
And it also kind of belies a misunderstanding, isn't it? That if all the temptation were taken away and all the evil were taken away, then somehow we'd be these good, holy people. But we wouldn't be, would we? No, we'd still be sinful people.
Yep.
The temptation doesn't make us sinners. It just shows us that's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And the same way with the evil. The evil doesn't make us doubting, distrustful people. It just shows us that, yeah, we are doubting, distrustful people.
That's who we are.
See, I was actually thinking about some other stuff that Luther had to say about temptation. You remember the big three enemies, don't you? The big three things that tempt us?
Sin, death, and the devil?
Sinful. Let me think.
Well, that's the unholy trinity.
Death, that's right. The world, the devil, and our flesh.
Sure.
The devil,
sure.
The world, and our flesh. Yeah, yeah, okay. And Luther does this crazy thing because he thinks it's progressive. And so you can actually reflect on this since you are Matt Youngblood Clark, because Luther argued that when you're a beginning Christian, when you're starting out, when you're new, it's the flesh that really bothers you. That's what you're really troubled with, the temptations and the enticements of the flesh. And then, of course, as you get to start to be my age, you know, well, I'm actually moving beyond that now, the middle age part thing. But you don't worry so much about the temptations of the flesh, but it is the temptations of the world, you know, being powerful and having a lot of possessions and everything like that. That becomes the focus. And then Luther contended when you got to be mature, then the temptation really came from the devil. And he really directly started attacking your faith. And in fact, might bring up some of the things you did as a young man or as a middle-aged man and say, ah, see, you were a sinner, and God, how do you expect God to love and forgive you for that? But it was this temptation of the Satan, the ultimate temptation, as it were, that struck me, because he pointed out that Satan can actually do two things. One, he can drive us to despair. Right. He can cause us to say, well, God doesn't love me. He's not going to forgive me.
Beyond hope.
But the other thing he can do is just the opposite, which Luther called presumptuousness, which is just this feeling that I have arrived.
Yeah, it's pride.
Exactly. I am the good Christian. Yeah. I am the good guy, see? And so I'm thinking, well, that maybe is why there needs to be some evil and need to be some temptation, because, again, that would be our sin. And how the devil would love us to do that, to make us think that, well, we don't need Jesus anymore. We don't need God. We're here. We're where we belong. Which brought me to one final thing, Matt, talking about how we would pray the petition. So we'd simply say, get rid of the temptation, but that belies the fact we don't understand that we're sinners, and actually we probably need that to have steadfastness, like James says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then it occurred to me, what we would probably then pray is, okay, all right, I can see where there probably needs to be temptation. So it's kind of like what you said earlier, make us strong enough that we can overcome the temptation. That's what we want, Lord. Make us so strong that we'll be able to overcome the temptation. And that's when it occurred to me, we just don't know what's going on, do we, Matt? Do you think there's any possibility in the world that you and I would ever become so holy or so good that we would be immune from temptation?
No, never. Not this side of heaven.
You know, I'm thinking of Adam and Eve. you had brought them up earlier. Mm-hmm. And here we have people that literally are created in the image of God. You and I are created in the image of Adam. We're born in sin, conceived in iniquity. But these people actually were created in God's image. How did they fare in the face of temptation?
Not so good. No, and that's what, you know, people get upset at Adam and Eve. Oh, they messed everything up for us. Oh, boy, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve. But, you know, Pastor Clark would have come along and he would have done it. I can assure you that. And I think that's a good point. Here they are in the image of God, even. There is no sin at all in the world, and yet they still fall.
And they fell because they made the mistake I'm just talking about, because they thought they could have the power to be in control and take care
like
of all
God.
This stuff. Yeah. So here you want to know good and evil? I'll let you know good and evil. Then you'll be like God and everything. And here they thought they'd made their choice. They were being in control, but really they weren't. They were just following along with the will of the devil. So if Adam and Eve don't have any chance, trust it. Trust me. You and I don't have any.
We don't either. Yeah.
So which is why we don't pray, God, make us stronger. We don't pray, God, take away the temptations, but we do put everything in the Lord's hands. Recognizing that we're not in control, the devil's not in control, but God is in control. So, Lord, please, you who have control over this, don't bring me into temptation that I may fall and be overwhelmed. But the next part is,
deliver us from evil.
There you go.
Yeah,
good. That's the plan. That's a program.
I think that really goes hand in hand. Those two petitions: lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Did you do any study on the deliver us from evil?
Well, that actually was the next thing that we talked about. And see, actually, what you've said is absolutely right. It doesn't say lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. It says lead us not into temptation, but. You're right. That's not actually two petitions from a grammatical standpoint. It's one thing. Don't you let us go into temptation, because we have no hope. But on the other hand, you do deliver us from these temptations and these evils.
Well, and the evil, I don't know, in the Greek study, I think that there it's even the evil one. It's not just evil in general, but even the evil one, Satan in particular, just like you had touched on. So, I mean, which I think kind of encompasses evil, but deliver us from that evil one.
And so you're right, Matt, and that's exactly what we're giving the picture then at the end of the Lord's Prayer. This is not a battle about Matt and how good Matt's going to be or how bad Matt's going to be, because that's how we hear it. See, it's all about us and our morality. No, this is a battle between the Almighty Creator God, who has called us to be His sons and daughters, and this devil, who would undo all of that, ironically, by trying to make you think that you have control and you have choice over what's going on. And so in these final petitions, and we're essentially saying, we have no control of what's going on. We are totally lost in this, except, oh Lord, that you would not give us over to temptation, but that you would deliver us from evil. It does raise one last interesting question, and since you've suggested maybe we'll continue to talk about the Lord's Prayer, why do we not pray until the end, deliver us from evil? Because I'm thinking, wouldn't that be the most important thing to pray? Wouldn't that be the thing we should pray right at the very beginning? Or is that not indeed how I usually pray? Deliver me from evil.
Yeah.
And sometimes don't even think about the other things we prayed. So maybe we can talk about that next week, too, as we talk about forgive us our trespasses. We can also talk about why do we wait till the very end?
And to talk about the evil stuff.
Yeah,
deliver us from evil. Yeah. You know, the Lord's Prayer, you know, I think a prayer that we should pray regularly, but also a prayer that we should even model our own prayers after as well. So.
Yeah, that's exactly. Teach us how to pray.
Yeah.
And that's the picture. All right. Well, it sounds like we've got an agenda for next, if we can remember that far.
Sounds good. Yeah. So we'll talk about trespasses and forgiving others their trespasses against us. Okay.
And you're the young blood, so it's your job to remember that. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you next week on Wrestling with the Basics.